Hey, what's happening, guys? Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns, and we are into a game day edition here of your podcast that you check out every single day. It's an exciting day. We have some great things going. Again, reminder about playback, which I'll talk in a minute. The link is in the bio of this pod. Otherwise, we have two different segments today. The first one is with Lori Fitzpatrick of USA Today Touchdown Wire. It's terrible audio. Sometimes when I do these recordings, if I'm not paying attention, it does not switch over my podcast audio to the microphone, and it just does this headphones. And I have these AirPod Maxes, which are so much money, and for the audio pickup to be so bad, I apologize for that. But I just want to warn you ahead of time that that is coming in the first segment. We have a nice little preview of the Jags from Lori, looking ahead at who, you know, the big changes for them, some names that are at the top of the roster. I didn't want to do all too long here because it is preseason and there's not a ton to care about, but it's nice to at least know some names and know some changes they made. So that's the first segment. The second segment is the OBR's Ask the OBR on Thursday, which is a show myself and Andrew Spade do. So we will get to that right after the interview with Lori. Pretty quiet on the Browns front today. It was a travel day yesterday. They're walking through things in Jacksonville, getting ready for the 7 o'clock game. The only thing that really came out was this piece of news that Deshaun Watson would be willing to accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine. I think that's just a big waste of time. The NFL is going to do whatever they want. So that being public, trying to persuade some movement on those things, I don't know. It's not worth wasting our time on. We'll talk about it a little bit later with Andrew. Also, the Jimmy Garoppolo rumor. We'll cover those things first. Let's get to today's, I guess, the first of many team previews that we'll have from somebody covering the team. Let's jump over to that interview right now.
All right, guys, excited to have in Lori Fitzpatrick, who covers the Jaguars and many other different angles for the USA Today's Touchdown Wire. She does film room content, does a great job with it. Always try to talk to her. Listen, we did this last year, Lori, before the same game, opening game, little different situation for both teams now. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, definitely, man. I was excited to kind of come back and talk Jaguars versus the Browns. It's definitely a lot different this year. As opposed to last year, having Urban Meyer in there. Still a first-time coach for the Jaguars, so that's really the only thing that's the same. Everything else is different, so I'm excited to kind of get into it.
Yeah, let's dig into it quick. So, yeah, talk to us about, as these two franchises are in different yet similar tumultuous situations, some of the decision-making around last year to this year. Talk to us about the biggest changes between last year, this year, who's here, who's not here, that kind of big picture stuff for Browns fans who maybe didn't pay the most attention to what the Jaguars did this offseason.
Yeah, so one of the biggest changes was, besides the obvious of Doug Peterson being the new head coach, they made some changes on the defensive side of the ball. So they no longer have Miles Jack, who was pretty much the voice of the defense last year. He was one of the linebackers. He kind of played out of position at times. He played middle linebacker, you know, was off ball, things like that. He played it with the 2017 defense that went to the AFC Championship. Now he plays for the Steelers. So they ended up bringing in Foye Iluokun from the Falcons. He actually led the league last year in tackles. So he was a guy that can replace Miles Jack. He can be a little bit more of a leader, a little bit more of a, he's bigger. And he's also more of a natural middle linebacker as opposed to Miles Jack kind of playing out of position. And then now they have Trayvon Walker, who I think we were all a little bit surprised. I wouldn't say surprised in the pick being number one overall, but like they didn't expect it, obviously, until the talks kind of started to come out. Like Trayvon Walker is going to be the number one overall pick. But until we saw him play in the Hall of Fame game, nobody was really sure about what kind of player he would be. Coming from, you know, Georgia, yes, he was on the best defensive line or the best defense in all of college football, but he was the only first overall pick to have 6 sacks, which is not a lot. But I think he's definitely going to be the player to watch throughout the season. Him and Josh Allen, who's the other D end, on the Jaguars. They play a 3-4, so he's actually an outside linebacker. But they will be rushing the quarterback. You know, 2-point stance, 3-point stance at times. Sometimes they'll be dropping back, but definitely Trayvon Walker is one of the key players. Him and Josh Allen on the ends. And then another big signing was Darius Williams, the corner from the Los Angeles Rams. He is now on the Jaguars, paired up with Tyson Campbell, who was a pretty good cornerback in college, and now he's kind of coming into his second year, and I think he's really stepped it up so far in camp and in preseason. So those guys are definitely the guys to watch. On defense. Now on offense, there are definitely some changes in the wide receiver room. They brought in Christian Kirk, as everybody knows, Zay Jones from the Las Vegas Raiders. Then Evan Ingram was the tight end from the Giants, who is now on the Jaguars. So that was a big change there, which I think a lot of people in Jacksonville are a little optimistic, a little too optimistic, if I were to be honest. I still think they're missing a key wide receiver. They have Laviska Shenault, still Laquan Treadwell, Marvin Jones. Those are the guys that came back from last year. Jamal Agnew was also a guy that came back from last year. He had a kick return last year that was, pretty awesome, because the Jaguars didn't really do a lot on special teams. So I think kind of overhauling that whole wide receiver room was important, but those were some big changes. Then obviously now ETN is back. Travis ETN from Clemson. He was paired up with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. So he's now ready to go. And James Robinson, he's back from last year. And he will probably be ready week one. He had that Liz Frank surgery on his foot. Or that injury. That's kind of the same. But I think Travis Etienne is definitely going to be one of those guys that's going to be utilized a lot in Doug Peterson's offense.
So talking about Doug Peterson, how big have you noticed the shift away from the tumultuous whatever that Urban Meyer brought? Like, do you just get this vibe that this is now a professional franchise headed in the right direction? Curious the vibe on Doug at the early part of this his debut.
Yeah, definitely. It's more, I would say the culture has definitely shifted, especially because he's a proven head coach. He's won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He kind of took them from, I think, I don't remember how many wins they had before they really started to take off in 2016 and 2017, but Doug Peterson was definitely a big part of that. And coming from Urban Meyer, it was just... It was such, like, the Jaguars, they're not the team to take chances on first-year head coaches that's coming out of college. They're just not a team to do that. Maybe winning franchises that already have that established winning culture, they can take a chance and do that. But I just think it was a huge whiff. So Doug Peterson kind of coming in and rehauling some of those positional rooms was really important, and I think that he brought in players that are leaders, and I think that you can already see that on the field. They're responding a lot better when they lose or when they miss a play. There's definitely more of a leadership mentality. And an accountability type of attitude that a lot of people didn't see before on this team.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for them just to get to a sense of normalcy within an NFL structure. And I think, Peterson has flaws. I don't think that's a secret, but he does bring a level of raising the basement to just competency from an NFL coaching perspective. And I think that's always so necessary, especially for a franchise that was dealing with all the weird stuff that they were dealing with last year. So, listen, we'll close with this because it's going to be a hasty little preview here, because these teams, it's just going to be a lot of players playing for both sides that hell, not even their own fan bases know all too much about. Who, give me a couple names of guys you think Browns fans should know. They're maybe mid-roster to fringe guys who you are excited to watch and have high hopes to see what they can do. Just kind of what you're watching for and players of that nature that you think that are trying to fight for a job and surprise people, make some plays.
Yeah, so they actually got Arden Key from the 49ers, that one of the defensive ends. I think he's definitely going to be a player to watch. Right now he's competing with Dwayne Smoot, who is another one of those guys that, you know, you're kind of waiting for him to kind of break through. But I think Arden Key is going to get a lot of pressure on the offense. I just think he brings a lot. So he's definitely a player to watch. On the offensive side of the ball, there's a couple guys. So Willie Snoop Johnson, he's deep on the depth chart. I think he's from Marshall. He returned a kick in the Hall of Fame game, but it was actually called back for, I don't know, like a holding or something like that. But I think he's a wide receiver, number 81. I think he's definitely going to be a guy that he's going to be fighting for his spot. So even though you're late in the game, he's still a guy to watch. And then I would say the running back room is a really interesting one. Snoop Connor, I think he's going to be a player to watch in terms of like maybe that third running back. And then obviously Travis Etienne. We haven't seen him play since Clemson. I think he got hurt in the first game. Probably two series, maybe less, maybe just one series. But I definitely think, you know, one or two.
Got it. Good stuff. It's good stuff over. Unless the NFL steps in, could be looking at a really raucous evening if they end up putting Watson on the field, and it feels like they're going to at this point. So we will see the first NFL stadium reaction to Deshaun Watson. It'll be in Jacksonville. Looks like, as Lori said, Trevor and some of the other bigger names will play a little bit in the first quarter, and then we'll check in throughout the game. We're doing it on playback. I think Lori's going to try to swing through on playback and give some of her thoughts maybe around halftime and something of that nature. We'll try to get her opinion on the Jags too. We'll always try to bring in other perspective. So good stuff, Lori. Very quick here, but I think is the right stuff for Browns fans to pay attention to. We appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, going to close with our Ask the OBR Thursday show. Myself, Andrew Spade, a lot of good topics covered here. Did a great job, I think, in just a condensed half hour, being able to knock out a lot of important things going on. So reminder, thank you to Lori for coming on the show today. Thank you guys for stopping by and checking out. And we close today's episode with Ask the OBR with all of your pertinent topics ahead of the Browns Jaguars first preseason game. Make sure you check out that pre-post game coverage at the OBR Twitch and join me live on playback. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a cool tool. I think you're really going to like it. Let's get over to that Ask the OBR right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday preview show for the OBR. My name is Andrew Spade, and with me is Jake Burns, as always. Jake, how are you tonight?
What's up, Andrew? I'm good, man. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just excited to be back talking about Browns football for once. We're not. we're just about outside of the off-season period where we're going to have an actual game to watch tomorrow night. So it's going to change how we do this, you know.
It definitely is going to change how we do it. New content, man. We've been talking about the same things for so many months, and now we get to talk about some different things, some different concepts, some different plays, some different results, and hopefully for everybody it gets more fun from here on out. Put it that way. I'm to the point, Andrew, I don't know about you, man, but even if they are not as good as we hope they'd be this year, it's just something different to talk about. Like, I just... Yep. Need something different to talk about. So yeah, needless to say, I cannot wait for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think at this point it's like let's with the Watson thing dragging on so long, I think at this point it feels more like closure of any type will be welcome. It's not going to be overly disappointing or frustrating. Yeah. It's just going to be like, okay, well, now we know. It's more the not knowing at this point that's most frustrating. So before we get started, just want to say quickly that on the OBR, we had a great day of content today. Starting yesterday, we had a great roundup of the new linebacker that the Browns signed, his athletic profile and his path to success with the team. We also had an article on AJ Green and his path to success with the team, or I guess is the argument for him being a starting quarterback, which is a good one. And then that was Corey Kinnon on that one. And then today I wrote an article about if the Browns wanted to look outside of the organization to fix the return issue in the absence of Jakeem Grant. There's some options out there still, free agent wise, and then one possible trade. And we had Barry McBride wrote an article this afternoon detailing some of the changes to our game day program, or I'm sorry, our streaming offerings this year, and which one of which is something that you're pretty excited about, Jake, if you want to talk about that again.
Yeah, so to kind of make it all encompassing, we're still doing our pregame, postgame on Twitch, and we'll be putting that up on YouTube as well. So that'll be available for you guys to check out an hour before the game, usually about an hour after the game worth of conversation, discussion. But there is a company we are in with a little bit early here called Playback, and they have an awesome, if you've listened to my pod this week, you've heard me talk about it. I'm really excited about it. Their platform that is a live stream platform. So what you do is you go there, and the link to that can be found in podcast episodes I put up recently. It can be found in the website that Barry McBride posted the write-up Andrew's talking about for today. It is getplayback.com/room/OBR live. We have actually shortened and condensed that down to something even tighter, which if I can find what that is right in front of me, right this second, there it is. It is playback.theobr.com. So if you go to that, it'll link you. What you have to do is go in there, you sign up, put your TV subscription in there, and then that unlocks the ability for you to watch the game that I will be broadcasting in my own, bring people on stage. We'll have guests. We can have users come up on stage and talk, you know, those of which is a chat service that goes on the whole time. So we're all hanging out watching the game. It's just a really cool way to take what we do here sort of through Twitch and put it in another platform that's pretty similar to Twitch and can host it and has all the rights. You know, there's always a bunch of messiness with getting the rights to be able to view those things, and they have knocked that stuff out. So what's cool is you're not using your TV subscriber to use it. Like, you're not all on different times during the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you're, you know, some lag behind or somewhere ahead. You're unlocking the ability to watch the TV subscription you're putting in. Whoever your provider is, YouTube TV or Time Warner, Spectrum, whoever, I don't know, whoever you use, they are giving, that's unlocking the ability to watch the broadcast of the game that this company's putting on. So we're all on the same page at the same time. Nobody's like talking about being ahead of the game or anything like that. It should be a pretty safe space to watch the game at the same pace as everybody else, but have discussion during the game and listen to a different breath. You're tired of the Joe Bucks and Aikman and all those other ones, like, you can listen to people who really know the Browns talk about the Browns. So we're excited about it. We're going to do it this Friday. We'll see about the other two preseason games to be determined, but I think we'll run this thing for sure in the regular season each week. So check that out. I would love it.
Yeah. And like you said, that'll be tomorrow night. First maiden voyage, watching the Jaguars and the Browns in Jacksonville. And so I think it's going to be a great way for people to get to experience the games, you know, sort of with folks at the OBR. I'm excited to see how it looks and feels. So we're really looking forward to that. And we're going to talk mostly tonight about the game. I think our Thursday show for the season is going to be more of a weekend preview. I think once we get to the regular season, we'll probably talk about some other games, you know, and we might have guests on from the other cities. But, you know, it's a preseason, so we're starting a little slow. We'll still talk about what we can expect from the Browns tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, but we'll talk about that tonight. But, you know, some news surfaced this afternoon, which I think we have to talk about a little bit first, which is Mary Kay Cabot reporting that she's been told from league sources that if Deshaun Watson were to miss the entire season due to suspension, that Jimmy Garoppolo would be a potential target for the Browns, which is, you know, something that's kind of been out there and been speculated about, but it hasn't really, it wasn't clear if they were interested before they got Watson or if they would be interested since Watson. This is the first real clear indication that they would be interested as a stopgap for the year. Your reaction to that, Jake?
Well, I mean, I think we've all sort of thought, I guess it's what my immediate question is she getting that from somebody concrete, knows what the Browns are going to be doing, or is it just a hunch? You know, that's what's interesting to me. I'm not totally sure about that. I think we've all speculated on how it could potentially make sense, given this, if Watson's stuff goes deeper into the season than many of us anticipated, and it now seems pretty dang realistic. I'm sure you would agree.
Yep.
I don't think this is, I don't get this vibe as this is report is a concrete thing that they're going to be doing this. If it is a locked in thing, if Watson's suspension goes to 12 to a full season. So I don't get that vibe, but it is the first time it's bubbled up. I think it's worth entertaining if he's cut, not traded. I don't think you trade for him too much, unless I should take that back. If you can pull off a trade similar to the Mayfield trade where you only take on $5 million of his $23 million, I think he's owed this upcoming year, right, I'm fine with that. But the thing is, the Browns, the reason that they did it the way they did it is because they got back a potential pick, a fifth pick that could turn into a fourth. So if you could maybe do a sixth to a fifth, like, I'd be interested or something like that. But the Browns are in a rough market for giving up picks, especially given, you know, I'm stating the obvious, but what they've given up for Deshaun Watson here. So I don't think they're all too in tune with giving up picks. So I think that they would wait out to see if a release happens.
Yep.
That's my biggest hunch. So I don't see any world in which they're going to be taking on $23 million. Like, that's not going to be a thing. That would have to be a similar deal to Mayfield's, but
right.
It then comes down to if they want to give up draft capital. And like, it feels like the 49ers are in a really rough spot to make any deal happen. Maybe it's like a draft pick. Maybe it's like a seventh conditional to a sixth the year after the Browns are done giving up the things to Houston. What's that, like 2025? Maybe
maybe they can work it that way. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't see a bunch of Jimmy Garoppolo suitors out there. Listen, I don't think Jimmy is leaps and bounds better than Jacoby Brissett. Like, I don't.
Right.
The difference is he has been in big moments. He's been in big games. All of that stuff is not something new to him. And this is to say Jacoby, too, like, his teammates love him. Everything you hear about people in Indy and people who have been around him, whether it was his stint in Miami or his time in New England, like, everybody loves Jacoby. But I think Jimmy is a better overall quarterback, but it's not by a ton. So I could see Cleveland still being like, you know, not really totally worth selling off a lot of different things for. But if he could come cheap, you know, I think that if he came cheap and the draft capital that was given up for him is nothing significant and it's down the road and you can punt it out a little bit, it can be a thing that they're interested in doing that I don't think is all too far fetched. So, I feel pretty comfortable in saying Jacoby is not, like, the data shows you and the way his teams have operated around him. And he's played in some decent teams back in those Indy days. Like, I feel very comfortable saying Jimmy's a better quarterback, but then you're also talking about, what are you paying up for? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you actually paying up for? And is it worth that kind of upgrade? So, I'll be interested to see sort of what they do, but I give it like a 15% chance.
Yeah, I have a lot of the same thoughts that you have. The one thing I would add is I think the timing of this is interesting, right? Because they you know, the 49ers don't save any money by trading him, I don't think. Or, you know, only the portion of it that the Browns would pick up, but they would save all of it if they cut him. So it seems like financially it's in their interest to cut him, but they want picks back. So it feels like a situation where, you know, there's too many different incentives on too many different sides. And I think my ultimate concern is what is motivating the 49ers to do this now rather than closer towards the cutdown day. And if he doesn't get into Cleveland until the beginning of September, how does that affect his ability to be ready for this season? And at that point, is it even worth, you know, exploring? So I think that's one of the other dimensions here, because I can't see the 49ers cutting him tomorrow. I suppose if he went and said, I've got something worked out with Cleveland and, you know, they want to bring me in as a starter, perhaps they would, as a solid for being such a good quarterback for them, maybe they would let him go. I don't know.
I haven't looked at, and you're doing a nice job of laying it out, I have not looked at what the ramifications are, good or bad, for Jimmy in that regard. But again, I'm not like clamoring for Jimmy Garoppolo. I get the angle. There are things that tell me about how he throws, portions of the field he uses, and accuracy numbers that tell me what I need to know. Like, I think he's better, but I also don't think like you need to go hunting him, because I don't think he's some gigantic upgrade at all.
Yep.
He's marginal upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. So I would just kind of be fine with keeping Jacoby. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
That's a lot of the sentiment in the comments section from what I'm seeing, a lot of, you know, which I think is a totally fair point that Jacoby has not played with the best supporting cast when he has been sort of thrust into a situation that offensive line in Indianapolis was so bad that Andrew Luck had to retire. So, you know, a similar situation for him. And, I think the Patriots supporting cast was better for him, but that was when he was a very young player. So this is, I think, his best opportunity for success. So the best version of Jacoby Brissett is probably the one that we'll see this season, which it's, you know, hard to imagine Jimmy Garoppolo being much better than that, as you said. Yeah. So,
I mean, they're similar style. They've played in this type of offense. Neither are going to run away from people. They're not very great athletes or anything. They're pocket guys. So, I think I would get why they would do it, but I'm not like, I'm not sitting here saying, man, if they don't get Garoppolo, it's not going to be a decent season. I think Brissett can produce many similar results to what Jimmy can.
Yep. Okay. Well, it was worth talking about because that news broke this afternoon. Obviously, the other breaking news this week for the Browns is they lost Jakeem Grant to a pretty nasty Achilles injury in practice the other day. I think that was on Tuesday. And, this was a day, I think, after the official team site had published an article about the massive impact they were expecting him to have on special teams. And Mike Prefer was comparing him to Devin Hester. And I think, you know, he kind of put the whammy on him. And unfortunately, Jakeem is going to miss the entire season. I wonder, Jake, your thoughts. I know that, you know, generally speaking, there doesn't seem to be a lot of correlation year to year on punt return and kick return quality. And it doesn't contribute that much to a winning or losing cause on a game-by-game basis. But it seemed like he had a little package of plays carved out for him in the offense. So just your reaction to his loss and where you think the Browns might look to replace that production.
I think they have guys in Schwartz and Felton who can do some of the things on offense that he was, I guess, going to do. I was still needing to see it to believe it in terms of him doing a bunch of those things, because to me, it felt like they were going to be giving those to Schwartz and Felton anyway. But I mean, it's not going to move the bottom line for your Cleveland Browns football season. It's just not. I mean, like, you would have a little bit better. You would have a better punt return, kick return, but you don't return that many kicks. D'Ernest Johnson is every bit as good as him at returning kicks. And then the punt return stuff, it could matter a little bit here and there, but it's not, again, that the expected points added that you're getting from that thing from him is like not that great. So I've said this a couple times, like Jakeem Grant has never had a receiving career in the NFL. Teams have tried him as a receiver. He's been in multiple places that have tried to use him as a receiver. And he's had a couple years of 300 yards. Like it's just not his thing. He doesn't have a bunch of route nuance. It's just like Mecole Hardman. It's a very similar type of player. They're very shifty, but they don't understand how to stack routes. They don't understand what it takes to release the right way. It's just not their thing. So yeah, the special team stuff hurts a little bit. I'm not saying you're a better team for losing Jakeem Grant as a part of your specials, but it's not going to move the season. Like, it's really not. They have, he wasn't in their top four receivers. I still have been pretty vocal now over the last few days of saying they do need a receiver. I'd like to see them add somebody, but he wasn't going to get a ton of reps there. Now they just have to find some solidity in the punt return game and just catch the ball, get a couple yards, and don't turn it over there. And again, it's like he had one punt return touchdown in the last few years, three, four years. Like, it just, I get it. I'm fine about him, you know, but he's averaging like 6 yards a punt return. That's all he's ever averaged. I mean, it's like, that's fine. You know, catching the ball. And so, I'm just saying, like, your team's not better off losing him, but it's not going to move the win loss bottom line for your football team this year. It's really easy to identify that based on everything that he's done in his career. Again, I don't think losing him is what they wanted or it's going to help, but it's not the end of the world. Put it that way.
I think it'll be interesting.
Loss, like a big loss is Denzel or Miles or, you know, JOK. Those are big losses, but Tonio Teller, like this is, it sucks, but you know, it's football and sometimes these things happen. I even consider like Grant Delpit, but that was a big loss when he tore his Achilles, you know? I hope he gets a chance to come back and play another year though. He's pushing 30. He's getting up there. Yeah. He's getting older.
Yeah.
And he was having a nice camp by all accounts. And I just kind of hope he gets another run at it.
Yeah. Well, and those Achilles injuries are some of the worst for explosiveness and recovery. So it'll be interesting to see how he recovers from that. And we wish him all the best.
Even the way punters have changed, we should kind of talk about. I mean, like, it's just like the punters, the hang time punters get now, and the way gunners are specialists, like all of this stuff now is so minimized. You don't see Josh Cribbs in the NFL anymore. Like, you just don't see Cribbs or a lot of these guys. Like, it's just like the NFL has found a way to nullify the importance of special teams outside of kicking, punting and kicking field goals. And it's just not as big a deal as it used to be.
Yeah, I think special teams wise, the biggest issue for the Browns last year, from my memory, was the coverage units stopping returns. You know, I think they gave up more returns, you know, that were problematic to me rather than, you know, the problem on the other side of the ball. One thing that I will say, you know, looking forward to tomorrow night, I think it'll be interesting to see who handles the return duties with Grant not available now.
Good point. Yeah.
And that'll give you some indication of who's, you know, fighting for those spots and who they see as taking those. When I was working on that article for replacements for Grant, you know, I mentioned Demetric Felton. He had four muffs in 32 punt returns. So
that part of it's unacceptable. You cannot the baseline of being an NFL return guy as a punt returner is catching the football. Like, if you can't catch the ball, man, we got a problem. So we'll see who they run back. I mean, guy DPJ caught everything, and maybe Felton's got a year of experience. I don't know. We just need to see sort of what they think or you know, if it's a disaster in the first two preseason games, I'm sure they'll, they'll reach out to somebody. And again, they've got a bunch of familiarity. You wrote up a nice piece on potential guys, Andrew, like their propensity to bring back people they know would not leave me surprised to see JoJo Natson brought back in some regard, just because that's the thing they seem to do when pinned against the wall for either a depth issue or an injury of some kind. So, you know, Willie Harvey Jr. is an example of that. Like, they tend to go with people they know.
Exactly. Yeah, I think seeing that he was a free agent, that feels pretty obvious to me, but it'll be interesting to see. I think tomorrow night might tell us a little bit about whether or not that happens down the road. So looking forward to tomorrow night. It was announced yesterday that Deshaun Watson's making the trip, and he will start at quarterback, pending any sort of late-breaking news tomorrow from the NFL.
Do you expect any? That's a question. Do you expect any late-breaking news, or where do you sit on it?
I think I can see the argument that the NFL is incentivized to keep him off the field, even in the preseason. And so I think that to the extent that all of this is somebody rubber stamping what the commissioner wants, the commissioner, if he wants him not to play, then I could see something coming loose tomorrow. I thought it was also interesting that some settlement negotiations leaked. It seemed like they were leaked by Rusty Harden or somebody on Deshaun Watson's legal team, that they would be willing to settle at 8 games and a pretty hefty fine. So, you know, maybe a settlement gets reached, in which case I think he would be eligible to play. The understanding that I have is that if he's suspended indefinitely, that is to say a minimum of a year, he would not be eligible to play tomorrow night. But if it's just beefed up to 10 or 12 games, he could still play. So it's possible that we see news and he still plays. I don't know. I think tomorrow will be another yet another very interesting day in the Deshaun Watson saga. But in the eventuality that he does find his way onto the field in Jacksonville, I'm wondering two questions for you, Jake. How long do you think he's in there? And what are you looking to see? What are the signs that we can look for in terms of his rustiness or lack thereof?
Man, that leak today is pretty funny. You know, hey, I'll take two more games and a $5 million fine. Yeah. I'm sure you would, buddy. I'm sure you would.
Yep.
Anyway, what am I expecting? Nothing, Andrew. Really, genuinely nothing. If I expect anything, like if I expected when the starters play, okay, let me say this. What am I expecting? Nothing. What would be the outcome that you would want is just to have a couple efficient drives, you know, picking up first downs, getting points on the board. That would be a great outcome. Again, he has not played football since the January calendar year of 2020. He has not been practicing other than Cleveland's practice here. He wasn't practicing for Houston last year. So like if he would lead a couple of those types of drives, I think that would be a really nice outcome. But like, I'm really not expecting much at all. I'm very, you know, I mean, it's going to be, if he does play and he has a chance to play, it's going to be all eyes on him. There's going to be a bunch of pressure. This is the first time he's been on the field. He's going to be getting booed like crazy. Yep. All of those things will be true simultaneously. I, you know, I'm not putting any expectations on this game for him. I'm just kind of not like, but again, a couple drives, a couple nice outcomes, a couple good throws, escape some pressure here and there. That to me is like a good outcome for him. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, man, he's got to do this, he's got to do that, and or it's a disappointment. It's a preseason opener, man. It's a preseason opener and a new franchise with a new uniform and a new system and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, no thanks. I mean, I guess the thing that would be the worst outcome is that he gets picked off or something goes wrong, and then there's a whole bunch of I told you so and laughing at him and all that stuff. Because I'm telling you, I've been saying this for a while. Deshaun Watson, before this all came out, listen, he has always been a people, and I don't, it's the wrong way to say this maybe, but he's always been a people-pleasing type. Like from his time at Clemson to his time in the NFL, he would take questions and he would do these really great answers and he would do community service. And that's why we were all really blindsided by this. Mm-hmm. So like, how I always go back to this. Now, this is, again, not the same situation. It's not even in the same stratosphere, but it is the same effect. When LeBron left Cleveland, he did not expect to get the backlash he received, and he was the villain, and he wasn't used to it. And he's given interviews on this. He was trying to be a villain or be this guy that was able to overcome like all these people mad at him. And he's like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't channel it. It wasn't me. LeBron's thing is I'm a people pleaser and I like when people love me. I think Deshaun is wired in a similar way, mentality wise. Yep. So how he's able to handle a bunch of people who have animosity towards him or hostile environments or people pulling against him and all of, there's a lot of mental stuff there that it's like, to me, I just am going to be interested to see it. And it's not as much of a guarantee that he's just going to step on the field and things are it's all pro Deshaun Watson. Like, it's not guaranteed. It's going to take some time. So, you know, like, I just am saying I need to see his mentality might be off to start. It's just, it's a lot to overcome. And you haven't played a game in a while that's got flying bullets around you with people coming after you in the pocket. There's just a lot of stuff there. So I have like no expectations for, even if he plays four games this year, or he plays six games because he gets suspended 10 or 12, like, I don't have any expectations, man. I'll have expectations when he goes through a quiet off season and is comfortable in the situation he's in. That's when I'll start having expectations. Not right now. This is chaos. This is madness.
Yeah.
It's madness, man. I have no expectations for what he's going to do.
Yep. I think that's reasonable. And I think, expectations maybe was the wrong word. I think what I'm curious is just I am more curious to see sort of how he is used in terms of how long he's in there, you know, and what sort of positions Stefanski wants to put him in. So I guess that leads me to
It's not a bad question, Andrew. The expectations part of it's real. Like, there are people who are expecting him because he got paid $230 million to come in and be the dude, like be the same guy he's always been. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just think there's less promise of that being the outcome. That's all I'm saying. I just think it's not a set in stone thing to me, the way some people think it's going to be. So that's the one of the biggest things I'm tracking for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Browns fans generally suffer often from overly high expectations. So I think it's a good note of caution to be aware that, yeah, there's no guarantee that he's going to hit the ground running after being off of the game for what, 20 months, something like that. So one other question on Watson, if you were the man in the visor, the man in the hat, if you were Kevin Stefanski, would you play him tomorrow?
What? I mean, they are all in on Deshaun. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you have, right, whether you're sitting in your office and you're like, shit, we made a massive mistake here or not, you have a contract here, brother.
Right.
You are in the water now. What is the saying? The water's warm. You might as well swim. Like,
yeah,
they're in for the ride. So I'm playing him. I would play him and I would see what you got and get used to each other on the football field. And I'm not holding anything back. Like, again, this goes back to my general overall point about Watson.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, yeah, man, throw him out of the league. He's done. He's getting suspended. Like, no, man, he's done for a year max. And then he's back and he's 28 at the start of next season. And you're talking about 7 to 10 more years have been playing for the Browns, whether you like him or not.
Right.
That's the case. So to me, you're all in on him anyway, because that's the decision you made. And whether in this whole course of public reaction has changed a little bit of your steadfast feeling about it or not, like, you're all in anyway. So I'm playing him every chance I get to get comfortable with who this guy is on the football field. That's just the way I would approach it. I think it feels like they're doing the same thing. And plus, you want him, you know, whether this guy is guilty of these things or not, whatever Sue Robinson thinks, whatever you think, whatever Joe Schmo next to you thinks, you have to tell him now, I believe in you. If he doesn't feel like you believe in him, then it's going to be an even worse outcome for everybody.
Right.
So, like, you know, I just think that's sort of how it's going to be approached, and they have no choice now, but to be, you know, knee deep in Deshaun Watson, everything. And that includes playing him whenever he's eligible to play with the NFL.
I think that's well said. It'll be interesting also to see how they then, as the knock on of that, if he gets a few series or gets close to a quarter, then how long does Jacoby Brissett play? How well do they protect him? Do they leave the first team offensive line out there for the entire first half? All of these questions will be, you know, answered tomorrow night. And I think there's a lot of good ones, because, you know, there's not a lot of easy answers in all of this for Kevin Stefanski in terms of, you know, the amount of risk versus reward that he's going to get. But as you said, there's a lot of work that they need to do yet. And it starts tomorrow night. So on the same sort of topic of the offense, there's been so much uncertainty in the wide receiver room this spring with David Bell missing the first few weeks of training camp, Anthony Schwartz getting injured, and then very recently returning. Obviously, we mentioned Jakeem Grant's injury. So we know Amari Cooper, but there's a chance he doesn't play tomorrow night because, you know, he's a veteran. So probably Donovan Peoples-Jones will be out there. Maybe David Bell and Anthony Schwartz play. We'll see what the coach decides. Who would you expect to see in the first half getting significant targets in this offense tomorrow night?
I have to think if Cooper's not playing, most of the others will. Bell will get a lot of run. Like you said, DPJ will get a lot of run. Schwartz should get a lot of run. Harley kid for the what you call it?
Mike Harley.
Mike Harley. Miami, right? He'll get some run.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, like, that's why I continue to say, it feels like a signing of a receiver should happen. But I think that those top three, you'll see a lot of Felton at wide receiver. I think you'll see some tight end work from Stanton a little bit. Like, we're going to get tested on who all is here. The kid they brought in from Michigan, whose name is escaping my mind at the second, he'll get some run.
Oh yeah. Real recent addition that I,
it's escaping my mind. I actually
Baldwin or Madison or something,
the Browns roster up in front of me. I should sound like I know what I'm talking about every now and again. So I don't know where Wood's status is. I'm not sure if there's an update on that. Maybe, you know, Wims will get some run if he's able to go.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Bradley will get some run. He'll get a lot of chances. And then
Dalen Baldwin is the kid's name out of Michigan. Number 17.
Derek Dillon should as well.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of checking the roster tomorrow. Who is that? in the second half, especially for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of Josh Rosen throwing to guys that weren't even on the team 2 weeks ago. Is probably what we'll have to strap in for. So that's the preseason. And, you know, if you, once we're done here, you can switch over to NFL Network and check out Mack Wilson. Well, he was playing earlier. I noticed when I turned that game on just before we started here, he's playing for the Patriots. So, yeah, preseason, it's football. As we said at the beginning, it's football and it's worth watching, but it doesn't mean it's going to be good football. One more question before we go here. What do you have in mind in terms of, I'm seeing in the comments, somebody said they're very interested to see Taven Bryan and Perrion Winfrey in the game tomorrow night, just to see how the D-line stacks up. A lot of the young guys, new faces in the defensive line room. Any other defensive thoughts? I guess also just the question of, do you think a lot of the first team players will get run?
They should. No, I mean, they need to figure out who are the dudes on that defensive line. So, like, in my opinion, they absolutely should not play Miles and Clowney much at all. But those other guys, especially, that they're trying to figure out, like, is Isaiah Thomas, the seventh-round kid out of Oklahoma, is he a real rosterable player? Get Alex Wright his first NFL experience, you know? Trying to think who else I would like to see. Winovich needs to go out and prove that he's worth some of the things that we all think he can be worth. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm interested in so many of those guys. Can Tommy Togiai look respectable? There's a lot of things on the depth at the DN spot and all of the defensive tackles that I really need to see before I can, like, believe some of these guys. So they're up for those jobs are open. I think if you watched HBO's Hard Knocks, like, Campbell can be off the wall, but he said something I thought was really good. There are some guys in who are starters who are competing for reps. There are some guys in here who are not starters competing to be starters. And then there are guys who are just trying to make the roster. I think that defensive line in totality is a bunch of guys in the second tier who should be viewing themselves as not starters chasing reps, like chasing starting roles. Like that there are no set starters for me on that defensive tackle group, especially.
Yep. Yeah. I think that Campbell quote was really good because I think it sets the table that everybody has something that they're working on for the most part. Yeah. The only guys that don't are the guys that they don't even dress because they don't want them to get hurt, you know?
Exactly.
But, and to that point, you know, one of the things that I've heard Nathan Zagura mention a few times on Cleveland Browns Daily recently is the idea of guys that are trying to find their way into the program, meaning they're not going to make the roster, but can they make the practice squad? Can they hang around for a year or two sort of on the roster bubble? You know, those guys that sometimes get released, but seem to, as you mentioned earlier with JoJo Natson, they kind of find their way back into the program in future
years. Leaving impressions all the time. Willie Harvey is a great example, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he is a great example of the impression that you're leaving. And then that, like, you know, as it gets out there, it's in the fringe for keeping an NFL job. It's like, oh, the Browns are short at linebacker. Well, who do we know? Who can we count on to come in here and know how we operate, know how we do things? Someone said, oh, well, Willie Harvey's out there. Let's bring Willie back. And, you know, that's what it's all about, man.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's something on the line for everybody. And I think your point about there's a lot of young players on the defense that have something to prove is absolutely true. We are going to talk a lot more about Browns-Jaguars game tomorrow. We will be live for we're going to go live at 6 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow ahead of the game and get you ready for that. So it'll be probably a lot of the same topics that we talked about tonight, but who knows? Yeah. Maybe there'll be an immense amount of Deshaun Watson news to sort through between now and then. We'll just have to see what happens. But join us tomorrow night. I think we're going to have Jack Duffin all the way from the UK joining us for a while, and I think Corey Kinnan might be dropping in. We'll have a lot of the OBRs writers hanging out before the game. We'll get you set for the game, and then we will recap it with a quick post-game show after the final whistle in the Jacksonville and tell you kind of our impressions of, you know, who had a good night, who struggled, and where that maybe leaves the Browns headed into week two of the preseason. So please join us tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and until then, Jake, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Hey, Andrew, my pleasure, man. Thanks for hanging out with me.
All right, and we will, as I said, we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock for the first Browns preseason game of the year. Till then, go Browns.
Go Browns.